Okay, we're to the last part of Olivet Discourse course, so that is chapter 25 of Matthew, starting with verse 31, and I'll read through to verse 36. And this is dealing with those people who have made it through the tribulation alive, and Jesus has to deal with them. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves will also answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Okay, well, let's go back to verse 31, where we begin. "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory." This identifies the time period that Jesus is speaking of here. You remember we said that the first of this section of the Olivet Discourse in chapter 24 identified the first half and the second half of the tribulation for the Jews, what the signs of His coming would be, and then the second part, verse 32 of chapter 24 began to tell us about Christians looking for the sign, and the sign was the fig tree, the nation of Israel being gathered back into the land. We were seeing that as our sign. And now this is telling what the Gentile nations will experience. And it tells us that in dealing with them, that all they need to know for the return of Jesus is that they're going to go through the tribulation. They'll see Him when He gets here, and that's when they will be judged. So it's when the Son of Man comes in His glory. We call that the second coming, the revelation, the return. It's not the rapture, when everyone does not see Him, when Jesus comes down midway into the atmosphere, but the Christians are taken out to meet Him. This is when the Son of Man comes in His glory, that time at which every eye will see Him. From the east to the west, as the lightning flashes, His appearance will be bold, and He will come. And at that time, all the angels will come with Him, because they are going to have the power to carry out what Jesus, the judge, determines at this particular judgment. We call this the sheep and goat judgment. All the angels will come with him. He will be in his glory, and he will sit on his glorious throne. It says he will be on a throne, very likely in Jerusalem. And it says all the nations will be gathered before him. Nations here does not mean that a nation will come before him like America, number one, South America, Brazil, number two. The nations here speak of all the Gentile peoples of the earth as compared to Israel. The nation of Israel is one class of people. The church is another class of people. And the third class of people are the Gentiles from the nations. So when it says the nations will be gathered before him, it means all the Gentiles will be gathered before him. Every person, it says in Hebrews, there is, for every person, there will be death and then the judgment. Once to die, it is appointed, and then the judgment. And every person must face judgment. So all of these will be individuals here that Jesus will call before him, and this is when they will be judged. And he will separate them from one another. First of all, he is going to separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Notice here, we're going to do something that does not happen at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, everyone who is there will be a believer. Remember Paul said that there's only one foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And everyone in 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15, that judgment, which is the judgment seat of Christ, will be a believer. And all the believers will be there to be judged for their works. At this judgment, there will be a separation. And this is different from the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes you hear sermons preached about this judgment as if Christians will be judged on this basis. And that's not correct. Certainly God is the same, and his values remain the same, so it doesn't do any harm to say that it's important for us to be careful to feed the hungry, be careful to visit those in prison, be careful to give to those who are thirsty. And I think Jesus would feel about that the same. If we do these things for the least people around us, the poorest people, then it's as if we are doing it to him. But this is not the judgment seat of Christ, and these are not the words Jesus will use at the judgment seat of Christ. This is a judgment that will take place on the earth when Jesus returns. The church will already have gone up in the rapture. The church will already have been judged at the judgment seat of Christ 7 years before this, at least 7 years. It could be 7 years plus a little bit, because it says he will be on his glorious throne. It could be that there's a little time period after he returns when the millennial temple is set in place and he is on the throne there, and then all these nations are brought to be judged. But it will be at the beginning of the setting up of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ that this judgment takes place. So it's 7 years after the church is judged. And all these people that are brought before him are people who are in bodies just like you and I are in now. They have not died, and their bodies have not been brought back up from the dead. They are standing before the Lord in mortal bodies. They have passed through the tribulation without having been killed or having died during it. So they are in the kind of bodies you and I have right now, and they are brought before the Lord. to be judged. This is a separate judgment, one of three major judgments that we know about. We know about the judgment seat of Christ. We know about the great white throne judgment. In Revelation 20, verse 11, it says, "After the 1,000 years were over, I saw a great white throne, and the dead were raised from the sea." And this is the judgment of all of the unbelieving. And it's 1,000 years after the judgment seat of Christ. It's after the millennium has taken place. So the judgment seat is 7 years before this judgment. This judgment comes at the beginning of the setting up of the kingdom. And then the great white throne judgment comes at the very end of the millennium, after the 1,000 years. There is a time in here where the Jews who were faithful, such as Abraham, Isaac, all the Old Testament believing saints will be raised and given their share in the kingdom. That's a separate judgment. And it's not the sheep and goat judgment. Those will be people who have died and are raised in redeemed bodies. So that's another judgment. They're not all the same. There is not one general judgment where everybody is going to be raised and judged. Some will be believers and some will be unbelievers and so forth. Sometimes that is presented, but a general judgment is not biblical. There is no one single general judgment for everybody where believers are separated from unbelievers. That's a common idea, but it's not scriptural. Different peoples are judged at different times and places. So here we have living people who have never died, who have spent the 7 years of the tribulation here on earth, going through all that's gone through there. And now Jesus is going to decide which ones will enter the kingdom and which ones will not. And it says he will put the sheep on his right. It speaks of the sheep first, and then it speaks of the goats will be on his left. Peter tells us that judgment must begin at the household of God, so it seems logical that he would choose out the sheep and put them on his right and speak to them first.
Also, Carol, at the end of the tribulation period, there's going to be much judgment taking place. And so there's going to be the resurrected Old Testament saints. So those are going to be saved people. Mm-hmm. And since judgment begins with the house of God, they will need to be judged before these goats, unsaved people. And then there's going to be Jews who survive the tribulation period and are saved in a day, it says. There are going to be Gentiles that are saved during the tribulation period who have been martyred and then resurrected. Those are spoken of in Revelation 20, verse 4. And then there's these survivors, these sheep survivors, that'll have to be judged at that time. And so all the saved must be judged prior to the unsaved. So more than likely, there will be all that judgment going on about Old Testament believers. Then there will be the sheep, and then the last ones will be the goats.
All right.
One other thing is in the book of Daniel, it shows us that there's 75 days after the tribulation period before Jesus begins to rule and reign in the kingdom, before he actually sort of starts the kingdom reign. And it's thought that those 75 days are the time that all this preparation for the kingdom is going to be happening. And that's in Daniel. You can figure that out from scriptures in Daniel 12.
Well, we're at about verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, that's the sheep, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay, we want to just remember as we studied the keys of three that we brought out that when we speak of the inheritance, we're speaking of a place in the coming kingdom. And so this is having to do with the inheritance. And therefore, we're going to notice that Jesus is going to make a judgment based on what they did, the works that they performed. Anytime we speak of inheriting, we're speaking of the prize, we're speaking of an inheritance. And that prize and that inheritance plays out in the 1,000-year kingdom of Christ. And so he says, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For this is what you did. These are the deeds that you performed. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. You gave me shelter. Naked, and you clothed me. You gave me the basic things of life. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And I think that being in prison would relate not to criminals, but to people who were persecuted for their stand during that 7-year period. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then it says the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Notice their attitude. We don't remember having done something like that for you. And the king will answer and say to them, Jesus is now the king. He is on the throne. He is the judge. And he will say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these least brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.
Let me ask a question that needs to be asked, Carol. Mm-hmm. When you read this, it almost sounds like this is a salvation based on works. Mm-hmm. So how would you answer that?
How would you answer it?
Well, the verse that you read, mm-hmm. Verse 34, mm-hmm. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the inheritance, and we're talking about inheritance here and not salvation. These are saved. The goats, the sheep are the saved, and he just separates those saved, mm-hmm. and the basis of their reward are these deeds. This is not the basis of their salvation. Mm-hmm. The basis of their salvation is the basis of all salvation. It's we're saved by grace. Mm-hmm. So these deeds here are the basis mm-hmm. of the reward.
We need to note at verse 40, the king said, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. And what Jesus is saying there is that during this terrible time of the 7 years, especially the great tribulation in the last 3.5 years, when his brothers, the Jews, were being persecuted by the Antichrist and slain and imprisoned and all manner of things, that these sheep were willing to risk their lives to help the Jewish brothers. Whereas the goats that we will see in a minute were those who were the class of people who took the mark of the beast, who were marked for damnation, and they would not have cared at all about the brothers of Jesus, the Jewish race, and they would not have cared either for believers who had accepted Christ during that time, as far as that goes. But basically, Jesus is certainly referring to these brothers of mine being his brethren, the Jews, who were the most of all persecuted, most marked to be persecuted during that 3.5-year time period. And those who were believers, those who were not, had not taken the mark, would have been those who would have been ministering, doing what they could to provide some way of survival for the brethren of Christ.
And those would have been the ones who had not believed in
the lie.
They had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son unto salvation. And as it says in John 3, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. So as far as being saved and lost goes, these goats were lost, and their behavior was not to bless the Jews, but to curse the Jews.
So it goes on to say, concerning the goats, then at verse 41, and this is the last group that Jesus is going to judge in this time period here, before the setting up of the millennium. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. That could not be plainer than it is. This is the lake of fire, hell. And these sheep were accursed ones. They were not saved at all, and this is the time in which now the next ones besides the Antichrist and the false prophet will be thrown into the lake of fire. So that's the purpose, I think, that we can see for these angels accompanying Jesus. In verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, these angels will be the ones that will take these people and put them where they are to go. They will handle all of this heavy work of getting the earth prepared for the millennial reign of Christ. He will take the unsaved off the earth into the lake of fire, and the sheep will be left, and those raised from the Old Testament who were believers, who lived by faith, who believed in God, they will be raised up, judged, receive their portion. And then, of course, the church will be coming onto the earth. The bride of Christ will be coming to the earth to help administrate this government that's being set up. But here's what Jesus says to the goats when he says, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. these were the opportunities that you had, and you did not do them. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? They have their excuse. We didn't see it, that it was you. If we had known it was you, we would have done something, is the implication. But it wasn't. We never saw you in that condition and didn't do something about it. How can you accuse us of something like this? Because certainly we didn't see you hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison and not do something about it. Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment. Now that's the lake of fire, that's hell. But the righteous, those are the sheep, into eternal, age-lasting life.
I think one thing that we need to mention here is the fact that all unbelievers, we usually think of all unbelievers being judged at the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment. But here are some unbelievers that are judged prior to that time. So why are these judged prior to the time of judgment for unbelievers at the great white throne? And I think one answer that you could give to that is, well, they're still living. They're here on the earth, and they have to be judged in some fashion because they can't be left on the earth at the end of the kingdom. So they, for the most part, will be those who followed the beast during the tribulation period, and they took his mark. So they, along with the beast and the false prophet, would be the first occupants of the lake of fire. Then the judgment of all the other unsaved would be at the end of the millennium. So that's one way that you could think of it. The other way that you could think of it is that Jesus, although it sounds like they're immediately going to be thrown into the lake of fire, he may be just saying, well, you need to, they'll be put into the place of the dead, and at the end of the 1,000 years, then they'll be judged. So it could be either way.
So depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Could be a pronouncement of what your doom will be eventually. And then they go into Hades, where they are later judged. Some people take that view of it, but it doesn't make a lot of difference, I guess. They are going to be eternally judged.
There's one other thing here in verse 46, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Mm-hmm. Well, that is Ionian life, so that is, can be translated age lasting life, so into the millennium. Mm-hmm. Or you can think about it as eternal life, I suppose, but they really received the eternal life when they believed.